You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Back, and we are so happy to turn the page and look forward to this weekend's Super Bowl, especially the Jalen Hurts Show. And so many times we were able to talk to Jalen when he was at Alabama. He was frequently a guest here. And a lot of headlines about Jalen Hurts as an underdog. We decided to find out a little more about Mr. Hurts by talking to his dad, Coach Avrion Hurts, joining us. Coach, thank you very much for making time. I can only imagine what this week has been like for you and your entire family. Tell us about that as we say hello to you. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, and thank you all for having me. You know, this week, it's calm now, you know, so it's this part's nice. You know, last week was a little rough. You know, a lot of interview requests, but, you know, this week is, you know, it's pretty laid back, just getting ready for the game and, you know, wishing them well.
I mean, in terms of you know, getting to the game and just dealing with everything that comes around, what is it going to be like for you? And I would imagine there will be quite a contingency from the Hurts family making the trip.
Yeah, I got to Phoenix yesterday. I needed a two-day head start. So, you know, kind of getting, you know, get relaxed and get away. You know, so it's going to be good. You know, we got family coming and, you know, everybody's going to be supporting them. And they're going to come and enjoy the festivities and do all the touring. I'm more concerned just make sure that I know he's going to be prepared, him and his teammates, because they've done a great job all year. So, you know, I'm just – you know, patiently waiting to get Sunday here.
I remember talking a year ago to Joe Burrow's dad, who was also a coach, as you well know, and he said it was just so tense getting ready for the game and dealing with it. And I asked you that because, or I mentioned that to you, that because, you know, being a coach for so long, you understand this better than maybe other people who are just happy to luxuriate in the festivities. Does it change when you're watching your sons play football because of what you know?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, just from the standpoint of what you just said, it's a, you know, for me, you know, it's a Super Bowl, and so you're going to have some events you have to go to and you're going to, you know, enjoy. But for me, you know, I understand the most important part is the game. You know, neither team wants to lose. And I, you know, it's not a deal where people say, oh, you know, you go and hang out with Jalen. You know, the key to this is for them to keep their normal routine. And he's one person that's definitely going to do that. So it's like, I'm not here to have, you know, a bunch of father-son time. He's at work.
There's plenty of time for that later.
Yeah, you know, he's at work. You know, and people have to understand that, you know, it's the biggest game of the year. It's a lot at stake. It's a great honor, you know, to be here. But, you know, no one wants to say they just got here. You know, they want to win it.
Because there is such a long lead up to it, I'm sure it is a little bit different. But will, whenever you see him last before the game, is there something you say, or you just let him do what he does and let his coaches worry about the rest?
You know, it. I'll say that it'll be just like any other game. So, you know, however we communicate before a game, we'll text or whatever, and it'll be the same way. You know, the part of keeping your routine is keeping your routine. And so, you know, if anything different, then you're adding more to the situation. It's already a deal where you know it's a, you know, longer halftime. You know, it's a longer introduction, you know, and all those things. But the most important part is, you know, the actual plan, you know, the first, second half. So, no, it's not anything. It won't be anything extra. you know, added to it for me.
When you watch a game with Jalen or anyone else for that matter, but especially with Jalen now, considering the level he is at, what is it like for you? Because, I mean, if I go to a game, I'm a fan. You're not a fan. You're a father. You're a coach. How do you approach his games?
You know, I learned, you know, when he went to Bama, you know, I had a guy I used to work for, Dick Olin, and his son played at Iowa, Drew Tate. And so one of the things that, you know, he'd say now, you know, Hurts, just remember, you know, hey, you know, don't coach him. You know, and he was coaching his kids, so I don't know why he told me that. But, you know, it's a deal where I would, you know, I understand, you know, and as I tell people, those guys make a whole lot more money than me. So, you know, I'm not trying to coach him. And, you know, the biggest thing that I understand as a coach is fans will watch a game and they'll have an opinion on a play and think, you know, this or that happened. But if you don't know exactly the scheme, the schematics of the play and what, you know, the receiver, what route or this or that, then you're just making a comment, you know, based on your opinion. So for me, I just wait till after the game and ask what happened and see if I was right or wrong. But I don't get into the coaching part. My thing is making sure, you know, I check on his body, you know, making sure he's okay and he's in a good place, you know, mentally. And, you know, after that, you know, let the coaches do their job.
We're talking to Coach Hurts here, Arian Hurts, Jalen's father. Coach, some of these questions sound crazy considering what you know and maybe what we don't know. But to a lot of people, the fact that Jalen Hurts has led his team to the Super Bowl, has been talked about as an MVP candidate, surprises people for a lot of reasons, maybe because of how he was perceived coming out of school or even through the matriculation process. Are you surprised by what he's done?
No. You know, the thing is I always felt that, you know, God had him on this journey and nothing we could do was going to change it. And, you know, he had 3 great years at Alabama, met some great people. He learned a lot. He grew up, you know, I dropped a 17-year-old boy off in January. And when I came back, you know, he was a grown man. And so, you know, everything leads up to it. And when you know how hard he works and how diligent he is at his craft, you know, I always tell people I don't bet against him, because I understand how he approaches it, you know, and he's just a different, you know. I told Coach Saban when I dropped him off, I told Coach Riley when he went there, you know, he's a different cat, is how I put it, you know, and that just means he's very disciplined. He knows what he wants, and he's not afraid to put in some work to get it.
Coach, the media, and I use that because that's all we really know, made such a big deal out of the way Jalen dealt with the issues at Alabama. And I say issues, I mean, it's a football game. You know, he was taken out, another player was put in, there was a competition. What was it like for you as a father and as a coach to watch all this play out? And it got, as you know, gobs of media attention about what was going on behind the scenes. You know more than we do. What was it like for you to deal with?
You know, in that instance, the whole thing, you know, sitting in the stadium in Atlanta, I've been on record and I've said it, you know, I called his brother to come up to the top and meet me and we were talking. I said, they're going to pull him. And, you know, and I was like, because, you know, I would. And so, you know, we sat there and they pulled him. And so now it's like, okay, as much as I could say, you know, I didn't really want to go back because I knew he was, you know, hurting. But I have to go back and sit down, you know, and continue to support the team for all the hard work everyone's done. But, and I know he's got to go sit on the sideline and do the same thing. So I can't be a parent that, you know, disappears when things get tough. You know, it's like, okay, you go and you support, you know, and they pulled it out and it was a great job. And, you know, they were national champions that year. And so, you know, it's, you know, that's just how it turned out.
Was it, it seems to me that, you know, he was a profile in courage the way he handled that and really handled everything. You know, you never heard a word out of Jalen Hurts. He was supportive to his teammates as they were supportive to him. And then when his time came, he came in Atlanta a year later and and really won the SEC championship for Alabama. Tell us about who he really is, because that is unique and really unbelievable for a young man his age to handle himself in the way he did.
You know, in all honesty, the thing with him is the person. I mean, of course, he's a normal, you know, as you can be, I guess, in the situation he's in right now. But I mean, he's a normal kid, you know, young man now. And the person you see is him. Now, you have another side to him, of course, where, you know, when the cameras aren't there, you know, and it's a more, you know, relaxed setting, he laughs, he jokes, he has fun and all that. But, you know, when he's at work, it's business. And he understands that. And, you know, and he learned that part from Coach Saban. Business is business. That was one of the things with that night in Atlanta, that he understood that, okay, this is business. And so, you know, that just only made him stronger with it. But, you know, he's not putting on a facade. That's how he approaches it. And, you know, it's not going to change. So his fun is winning.
Coach, before you go, in terms of this year, it has left a lot of people speechless in terms of how he played, although those who have been watching him closely are not as surprised as maybe the average fan. From a coaching standpoint, what do you think, what would you attribute how he is playing now versus to maybe a couple of years ago when he was just getting started?
You know, he's worked really hard at it. And, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I didn't, you know, okay, he can't throw, he can't do this and that. And I always said that, you know, so you're telling me Coach Saban's going to bring in a quarterback that just can't throw. So that's disrespectful to him. But, you know, the biggest thing that I've wanted and that's happened this year is he's in the same offensive system for more than 1 year. You know, he went through what? 5 in 3 years at Bama, or 4 in 3 years at Bama. Then, you know, he goes to Oklahoma. And the thing with Bama, the verbiage would always stay the same. So that was always a big plus, but everybody was a little different. Then when he went to OU, that's a whole new language. You know, you get drafted to the NFL, now it's another language. After your rookie year, you have a new head coach. So, you know, the fact that he got to come back this year, as a coach, we always say that when your mind slows down, it speeds up from the neck down. And so, you know, that's a big part of coming back this year and you're not learning a new offense. You're going over what you already learned. So now you know it better. And then you just add on, you know, the little different parts to it. But that's a big part to it. And, you know, the hard work that, you know, he and his coaches and his teammates put in for it, you know, is just paying off.
Finally, let me ask about you and your family. This has been an incredible ride, and I know you've mentored your other children and so many others in your community. But Sunday night, will there be a moment where you look around and go, my son is starting in the biggest game on the face of the earth? Has it sunk in yet?
No, but, you know, I'll say that I've never been one for pregame. You know, festivities and all that. And I'll say that considering the magnitude of this game, I will, you know, soak up everything with it because, you know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity at this time. And so, you know, just get there. And I'm not a big sentimental guy, pictures and things like that, but, you know, take some memories and things like that because it's really, it'll sink in at some point that, you know, your son is playing in the biggest game in the, you know, of the world at this year. So it's a humbling experience. And so I'll try to enjoy the atmosphere. Now, once the ball kicks off, then it's, you know, okay, you know, sit down and I'm pulling for him because I know how bad he wants it. You know, so that's the most important thing to me is that he and his teammates can get what they want out of it.
Well, Coach, I don't know if it's possible to enjoy until it's all over. I'm sure it will be a moment that your entire family cherishes. Thanks for making time for us. All the best to your son, and we really have enjoyed visiting with you.
Hey, thank you, and thank you very much for having me.
It was our pleasure. Coach Avery and Hertz joining us from Phoenix, the site of the Super Bowl. And we had some really fun conversations with Jalen over the years, and it's great to connect with his dad on the eve of the Super Bowl. That's 2 years in a row we've talked to the Super Bowl QB's dad. Who's next? We'll be right back with more of the program.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back here. Enjoyed the conversation with Coach Hertz. Let's check in with Dal in South Carolina. Hello, Dal.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Wanted to get your reaction to Dawn Staley's response to Geno's comments after the game related to the style of play. He was not happy with the officiating, apparently, even though the fouls called were pretty much even. Did you see her response?
Yeah, I have heard it, and I thought she was magnanimous. She's concerned about her team, not his. And
yeah,
I thought her best point was that she never complained when they were winning every game. And I don't want to take anything away from Geno's accomplishments. No one's ever done what he's done, but you know, he's just coming off to me like the crank in the attic, and and that's a bad look for a legend.
Yeah, I mean, no question, he's one of the greatest coaches ever. But I don't know if you saw his comments after the Tennessee game. He wasn't happy with the officiating there, and actually commented. He said, "Well, that's what you're going to get when you play down here."
Well, that stigma is just so unfair. And I will tell you, being I've been around Northeasterners my entire life. I'm the son of two Northeasterners and the younger brother of another one. So I feel like I'm qualified. And there is legitimate bias toward the South for many reasons. And it's the easiest and the laziest and the most disingenuous thing someone can say, whether it's in politics or sports or media. And I just, I mean, Geno's been on this kick for a long, long time, ever since Pat Summitt called him out many years ago for being a cheater. And
yeah,
he's never gotten over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the comments related to how people defend on either side of the court. Mike Nabors, after the Arkansas game, I watched his post-game conference, and he just flat out said, Aaliyah Boston gets fouled every time she touches the ball.
Yeah. Well, listen,
he's the sweetest person on earth, and he doesn't say anything.
Dal, it's tough when you're I mean, listen, he's still got a great program, but he knows he can see the handwriting on the wall. He went through that stretch a couple of years in a row where, what, Mississippi State beat him on a last-second shot, somebody else, Notre Dame, I can't remember all the and he's probably not going to win again because right now Dawn really owns this sport. That doesn't mean she'll win every single year, but she's on a roll, and she's got the best player again. Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. Steve is up next in College Station.
Howdy, Paul.
Howdy.
How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome interview with Coach Hurts.
Thank you.
Listening to that interview, it may have validated my acceptance of what I'm dealing with Coach Petrino. What kind of set me off today was I read a tweet where he tweeted Missouri State his farewell. Mm-hmm. And he's been gone for about a month.
Yeah, well, he's...
And it kind of reminded me of the day Francione left Alabama and came to A&M without telling anybody, you know. And then I started looking into, you know, some things and how he showed up at UNLV. I mean, Coach Odom was his offensive coordinator at Arkansas, and from what I understand, Coach Odom really went to bat for him at UNLV to overlook his past. And believe me, I'm all about forgiveness.
Sure.
You know, I've been a season ticket holder here since I graduated in 1979. A&M, to me, stands for School of Integrity. And I'm just having a hard time because, to me, it's like him leaving there, like putting a knife in Coach Odom's back. And I'm just – and, you know, when I heard Coach Hurts say when your conversation with him, and it kind of maybe have answered my – maybe settled me down a little bit, was that I'm just a fan, and it's my opinion. I don't know all the circumstances, but, you know, when you start to – and I'm not – I don't think I'm being judgmental. I think it's kind of discerning, you know. And I just kind of wanted to get your opinion, and maybe there's some other callers that will call in that have had experience with Coach Petrino.
Well, I've had a few myself. Let me say this first, Steve. I'm glad to hear what you say because I've been fortunate to get to know a lot of people in College Station through a couple of friendships and have been a part of some amazing events with Aggies, and I think I don't know if there's a fan base in college football that holds truer to its core principles than Texas A&M does. Now, having said that, I think this is a much bigger issue I'm about to get into, but I think the whole Jimbo thing is a very difficult, if not impossible, conundrum where the school is really stuck. If his salary was half of what it is, what it currently is, I'm not sure he'd be around. But the school is married to him for better and certainly for worse. So I think you start accepting things. And, you know, Bob Petrino has been toxic for a long time. However, I don't fault the decision if it's pure business. And that's what it is. Right now, Jimbo Fisher has to survive. And the people that he works for understand that. They're all part of it. And that doesn't help the core principles of what Aggieland is all about. But this is about winning. And I think with Petrino, he's probably found his best route to win. And I have no more idea whether he will or not. I think he's better off today than he was because he's got somebody in charge of the offense not named Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it the nail on the head. I think I've got to accept that it's a business, and I think I've overlooked that, you know, even though it's quite obvious. But yeah, it's just a lot of things. Anyway, I just wanted to hear what you had to say about it, and maybe some of your callers that call in that have had experiences with them. But it's been a been a pretty tough deal.
No, Steve, I want you to understand what you're talking about. And I think a lot of people who aren't familiar with A&M do not really comprehend how deep the affinity is for I mean, everybody's a – I mean, if you're a fan, it's different being a fan than having attended that university and having lived it. I think A&M is unique. I've never seen anything quite like it. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about winning football. And it is black and white. And, you know, the people in charge of A&M understand all that, but they also understand the predicament. And I know I could opine on this forever, but it's going to be one of the most fascinating things to watch and see exactly where it ends up. We'll take a break. Having said all that, a lot of people think A&M might have a breakthrough year after being picked to finish sixth in the country last year. What does that mean? We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, and let's go back to the calls, and the artist known as JK is up next.
Ha ha! Woo! What's going on, Paul?
JK.
Paul, I like the opening to the show today, baby.
You like it?
You had Reverend Dunn laying the smack down on old Ariama. But I got something to tell you, Paul. I've been laying the smack down on Legend with all his complaining, and I ain't never heard you take up for me. And oh, what's his name? David Pollard laid the same smackdown on Nick. Didn't hear anything. But you know what Don said? Sit back and watch, just like everybody else sat back and watched when they were winning. Now the shoe is on the other foot. I've been saying it. Y'all been listening. Sit back, take it, embrace it. That's what you should do. When the run is over, the run is over. It's over for UConn. Now it's over for Bama. I've been saying, I'm going to keep saying it. Until they get some new players, some better players.
JK, if I could interrupt for a second, they just signed one of the greatest recruiting classes in college football history.
If I can interrupt you. Last year they had the number 2 recruiting class, and they finished 4th in the SEC. I got tricked with the banana in the tailpipe with Miami, finishing 3rd in recruiting, and we won 5 games. So that recruiting class stuff is just somebody's opinion, baby. It don't mean much when they don't produce. It's just an opinion. So what, they had the number 1, the best class in history?
So you don't buy some of the Bama folks who said they were 2 plays away from being in the national championship game?
Not if they didn't buy when I said they were 2 plays away from being 8-4, which is also the truth.
That is true.
So it just depends on what side of the fence you want to be on. I choose to be on you, the
okay,
non-Bama
let me play, let me play a game with you. I'll be a Bama fan for a second, okay?
Go ahead, Paul.
And just, you say all that, JK, but you're forgetting the most important thing, that Nick Saban is the coach at Alabama.
The same coach that was on TV whining and begging the committee for a playoff spot they didn't deserve, That same Nick. I thought you wanted to talk. What'd you want to talk? You're a Bama fan. Just pretend you're a Bama fan.
Okay. Well, that, and you, I'm gonna that, be. That, and he had every right to do that because his team.
Hey, Paul. Let this is gonna be quick. Let's play a little game. You beat Nick, and I'm gonna be the playoff chairman.
Okay.
I want you to come to me with your best case for Bama being in the playoff this past season, and I'm gonna tell you why.
So I am going to say what he said. He said that we are better than some of the teams you are considering, and we've proven that in the past.
Okay, so are you coming to me as Nick, or are you coming to me?
Yeah, that's exactly what Saban said. He said you put a school like TCU in the playoffs, and they'll get blown out. You put us in, and we'll, you know, we are competitive. I mean, we've never well. I was about to say, we've never been blown out in the playoff game. That's not true.
All right, Coach Saban. Here's my answer to you coming with your plea and your best case for your team getting into the playoffs. Take your pink coat-wearing butt back to T-Town because. And you take your butt back because.
Because.
You had two losses. Before Thanksgiving.
We also had a harder schedule, though, J.K.
Stop comparing your season to TCU because they won every single game they played.
But they didn't play anyone, it would be his argument. They didn't have to go to Baton Rouge. They didn't have to go to Knoxville.
They could have gone to Georgia, but they chose not to. But let me keep going. Ohio State had one less loss than you did, so don't bring them up. You wasn't a better team than Tennessee with two losses because they beat you head-to-head. You finished fourth in the SEC, Coach Saban.
But I'll tell you something else Saban said later. He said our quarterback was hurt.
They used that same hey, Coach Saban, you used the same excuse when Williams got hurt. But Williams and Messi played when you got beat by Texas A&M the same season.
If I could get out of Nick Saban's body for just a second. Why do you hate Alabama so much, considering how great they've been?
I got freedom of choice.
No, you do. I'm not suggesting you don't. I'm just wondering why you use all of this energy on Alabama. I didn't think they were important. Did you, Randy?
No.
I thought they were has-beens. I thought it was over for them.
I thought they washed up.
I thought they were washed up. I thought they were yesterday's news, but you seem to – You seem just obsessed with them. You and I-Man and some of these other dudes, just it's all you can talk about.
And you're not obsessed with Bama? But I am. I'm just having fun, Finebone. Just because of some people can't take the delivery. That's not my fault.
Well,
I'm talking smack and I'm having fun, baby.
Let me help you, JK. Do you know why you're having fun? Do you know why you're talking smack?
No, let me tell you, Paul. They
I can tell you. I mean, I feel like as the host of this show, I have a reasonable understanding of what matters and what doesn't in the parlance of college football. You know why you talk about Alabama all the time?
Let me hear
you. Are you sure you want to hear it?
I can take it. I'm not a Bama fan.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because they are still the most relevant team in college football. Georgia may have won
and
the last
entitled.
Two, but Alabama is still the conversation piece. Did they get the right coordinator?
Yeah,
did they get the wrong coordinator? Is Saban too old?
Paul.
It's always about Alabama.
Hey, you know what? They are the conversation. They're the most whinest team in college football, and the fans are delusional and in denial, and they'll be in denial until they win another championship. Until they learn to be good sportsmen, and give the other team credit when they get their butts kicked or don't make the playoffs, I don't have no respect for Bama fans. I just look at them and laugh at them when they come with all those excuses anytime they lose. And you should stop supporting that crap and being a defense lawyer for them every time because, hey, I'm going to be in the offensive every time. I can sit in the crowd of 100 of them, and I'm going to come out
on top.
Well, I got
news for you, J.K. You're going to be in for some big disappointment when Alabama comes back and puts another natty on the shelf.
Or the fans going to be happy when they claim two or three more that they didn't win. Hey, Paul, I'm just having fun, baby. Anybody that take it too serious, they'd have a problem, not me. I'm going to keep on having fun, baby.
JK, my goal is your goal.
Hey, Paul, I forgot to say it the other day when I called, but I'd be remiss if I didn't. How about them Canes landing on them Duke Blue Devils by more than 20 points the other night?
That was great. That's so important. I didn't even know that happened. JK, thanks for the call. Head to the break. We had Coach Hertz on earlier. We'll continue the conversation with more guests later on. Pat Forty in the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back, and Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Paul, how are you, man? Well, JK got the TDS, that tired derangement syndrome. I'm telling you, it's about to kill him. Hey, Paul, I did find out something about Miami, though. Did he mention Miami? I mean, that's the first time I heard Miami come out of his mouth.
But he mentioned Miami basketball.
Beating Duke? Is that what he said?
As if there are 30 people in America that care about Miami basketball.
Well, and beat one of the worst Duke teams in years, probably. But, Paul, you know what, though? They did figure out how to not to lose to Middle Tennessee State this year. You know how they figured that out?
I didn't know.
They replaced him with Bethune-Cookman.
Good one.
So, Paul, I got a question for you. I looked at Alabama's future schedules coming down in the next 2 to 3 years, and they got some home-and-home games with, like, Notre Dame and Ohio State, Wisconsin, Florida State. Do you see any of that changing when Oklahoma and Texas come into the league and the SEC goes to 9 teams? And thank you for taking my call, and I hang up and listen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I think these games will stay, especially with a 12-team playoff. You need good games. You can't play 9 SEC teams and then Bethune-Cookman, North Dakota A&T, and Caltech. I mean, you'll need one big game on your schedule. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just had two quick things. One is, with the new OC hire at Bama, do you feel like Nick Saban is trying to go back to the pre-Kiffin days of the offense, kind of in reaction to some of the success that Georgia's having the last couple of years, because Georgia looks a whole lot like old school Bama. Do you think that's part of?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Nick Saban wants a defense he can trust. And how do you improve your defense? I mean, it's old school philosophy that if you ground it out, take time off the clock, your defense is going to be better prepared. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be a clash of today's world versus old school philosophy. But people want to give Stetson Bennett the credit for Georgia's last two national championships. Why did Georgia win the national championship the last 2 years? You know the answer. They had the best defense in the country.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. They just suffocated teams. TCU snapped the ball and just might as well fell on the ground. I mean, they couldn't do anything.
I think Saban had to do what he did, but he knows it's different today. And his defense, I mean, just look at the two games they lost. Both games had similar endings. Alabama did everything it could to win those two games. Bryce Young was fantastic, and they still lost both games because the defense couldn't stop anybody at the end.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Paul. What's weird is, you know, back when Bama was like that, it seemed like everybody and their cousin went to the spread offense, and Bama kind of had a hard time keeping up with it, which kind of led to the Kiffin hire and kind of updating the offense. But now it's like, now that everybody is on that spectrum, here comes Kirby Smart in Georgia doing the old school system, and now nobody can stop it. Why do you think that was a problem, you know, just a few years ago that had to kind of make the switch, but now it's working again?
Well, hey, by the way, I don't think it was as big a problem as maybe we made it out to be. So when Nick Saban goes to Lane Kiffin, why did he do it? It was after a season that they lost the last two games, and, you know, one was on the kick six. That team was undefeated, by the way, until that moment. And then they lost a bowl game that they simply didn't care about, and he brings Lane Kiffin in. I think he was also frustrated by the rules of the game. I remember talking to him about that one day. I mean, he was just angry, furious about why college football can't do anything to slow it down. He said it was just it was unfair and unhealthy. So he couldn't beat it, so he brought Lane Kiffin in and had success. But really, he's won three championships during that era, but a lot of frustration on the back end.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.